in perhaps, you know, the world's greatest sporting precinct, right in the shadows of one of the world's greatest cities.
I used to love the roar of the crowd.
Magnificent mark taken by Royal Park.
A fighting is in the time.
He gets inside, well inside.
In any way that you can see us, we can win. Listening to the skin, you know, we're behind the chair.
Mark Cochin, just a little bit of genius.
And welcome back to Shai Bolton Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And it was a big week here for those of us who spend half an hour on the internet talking about Shai Bolton. What was your favourite part of the game?
Well, that's a somewhat leading question, but why don't we roll with it, Nick? What was yours? Which of the two goals was your favourite?
Well, look at the... It's actually a conditional response. Like, perhaps my favourite part of the first goal is the suggestion that Jack Riewoldt at the last minute directed the ball down to Shai Bolton, because I'm pretty certain he did with the second goal as well. But because he hit it at full pace, and you know, the first goal has good argument for being my favourite, but the second goal had a little bit more element of danger that he was actually going to miss the shot. So, yeah, they were both truly wonderful from my perspective.
Okay, so on this issue, did Jack direct it? I put a bit of thought into that, and for the listeners' benefit, we haven't pre-discussed this, and I didn't know you were going to bring it up. If you watch Richmond on tape in general, we do a lot of tapping to spots because we're playing without a centre-half forward. If you look at our players, our undersized players do an awful lot of jumping up and trying to tap the ball to a position. So it's clearly something as the coach.
And Jack does that a lot as well. He's a, you know, he's a pretty smart player.
Well, he might not have done it as much in previous years when he had Steve Morris at his feet, but he's clearly doing it.
Or Steve Morris already setting up his defensive position.
Already standing the mark for the turnover. But so I concluded that both times he tapped it deliberately. The first tap, as you pointed out, was the less obvious one because it required Bolton to hit at full space. But, you know, the tap's not tapping is not perfect in marking contests. It's much harder than it is when you're racking because it's harder to track the ball in flight. But, you know, he got it perfectly right, and Shai Bolton has good enough reflexes to grab the ball going full pace. The thing about that first goal was, live, I actually thought he was going to miss it because I had enough time to go, oh crap, it's Shai Bolton, and, you know, he had enough time to think about the shot, and we know what happened when he had that easy shot the week before, which we discussed on the podcast. So I was really pleased when he kicked it, and his second goal was brilliant as well. So yes, that was definitely the highlight. You know, Nick, that game was sort of afterwards, with a bit of reflection, that was such a roller coaster ride for me. Like afterwards, it really made me think about the, you know, how professional sport can, you know, how just 20, 30 minutes can completely change your attitude, even halfway through the regular season. Because at the start of that game, you know, we're excited on the podcast, but just before that game, I was so excited. You know, we were playing big game, the G, sunny day, a big crowd, which turned out to be, I think, was it the biggest crowd Richmond's ever home,
against a biggest crowd against an overseas team, interstate team.
Interstate. Exactly. So it was big game, beautiful, and I was so excited before the game. And, you know, about 2/3 of the way through the first quarter, I was starting to tear up because the team was playing so well. And before the game, for the first time, for one of the very, very few times in my lifetime of barracking Richmond, Richmond got under 20-1 odds to win the grand final. So, we were a legitimate contender. This was before the game, and then the first quarter started, everything was going well. And then the next three quarters happened, and we're back out to the usual sort of 35-1.
Oh, look. About 10 minutes left in the third quarter and we're still ahead by 5 goals. You know, we'd gone goal for goal at the start of the third quarter. I was still feeling pretty good then. And yeah, the rest of it was just a slow, painful grind. And it was, look, I mean, we all experience trauma in our own unique personal way, but for me, just the watching the replay, like following it live, I didn't really notice. Well, actually, the Swans kicked really badly for goal in the first quarter, and that was part of the story about how we got out to a good lead. Their goal kicking improved. Ours went to hell, and it was just frustrating. Like, yet another close game, you know, and I've said before that this season has been a profound test of faith that 50-50 games even out, and we're playing so many of them that, you know, win some, lose some, but, we're one of three teams in the AFL who's kicked more behinds than goals, and it's just frustrating.
Yeah, we're the second worst goal-kicking team in the AFL, according to the AFL stat. Mm. We're not sort of historically awful. The Bulldogs are actually kicking terribly for goal, but we're pretty crap.
Yeah, we're pretty bad. And particularly, look, we're relatively high marks inside 50 team. Part of that is that we're not getting that many marks close to goal. We're getting a lot in that 40 to 50 metre range. But, I keep hoping that, you know, we're going to go on a bit of a run with our goal kicking because, it's been frustrating.
So the body language doctor is obviously very unscientific and nothing like we normally talk about it. I talked about the positive side.
Oh, after the North Melbourne game, yeah.
North Melbourne, the body language doctor did not like live. And just the emotive reaction, the body language doctor did not like Richmond in the last 7-8 minutes of that game.
I think we were out on our feet was my reaction. It was in the most revealing camera angles was when they'd get behind someone like Dave Asprey taking a mark in defensive 50. They'd go the switch and there'd be nobody sprinting across the ground for them. That was we'd spent all the petrol tickets.
And let's be, we are fans. We're not media. Mm. We're not official club employees. That's the fourth game we've lost like that. It's particularly hard to lose that way as a fan because it's really hard to watch.
And, it's harder. It's yet we've
to get out. I saw
the stat that we've performed better. We've had much better second halves when we've been trailing than when we've been ahead at half time.
Yeah, and unfortunately, there's more of the latter than the former. It is the worst way to watch a game to get out.
It is football in 2017 is very much a game of surges, but it's hard work. And the not having the short forward line, particularly can look absolutely fantastic. And in the first quarter, I think I was drunk on small forwards. we've had two small forwards nominated for Rising Star nominations in the past 12 months, and we could have had a third one after the weekend. Shai was in the AFL Player Ratings Team of the Week. When the model works, it looks fantastic, but when the game slows down and you're needing to kick down the line, that's harder to watch.
It's a blessing and a curse.
And we've got another small forward waiting in the wings in the AFL.
Exactly. I presume you're referring to Steve Morris. It is a blessing and a curse. It is clearly when you're on, you get better pressure than you do from having a lumbering centre half forward.
And those stats about us now being the best forward half pressure team in the league. Like, you know, that's clearly an asset, but it also requires just that discipline not to bomb the ball into the forward line, and that comes and goes.
It's like you lose that option that every kick has to be a smart one. You know, if you go back to just at the end of the third quarter, Lloyd's turnover, which led to that goal just before the end of the third quarter, you know, you could argue, and maybe it was just a dumb decision, but had we had a centre-half forward, you know, Lloyd has another option to just drop it on the head. Ben Griffiths is playing that game. He has the option to drop it on Ben Griffiths' head on the boundary line. Even if it's 2-on-1, you at least know it'll go out of bounds and you can reset. Now, if it's Josh Caddy making that lead, well, it's going to be a lot harder for Josh Caddy to make that contest against two plus 190-centimetre defenders. So Lloyd comes in board, turnover, bang, goal the other way. Like, this is the tangible downside to not having a centre-half forward.
Yep.
So, but, you know, there's no easy fix to this because even if Todd Elton comes back, well, he was pretty bloody awful.
Yes, he was. Look, Griffith seems to be making finally a little bit of progress towards returning. As I've heard talk, he's maybe a month away, whereas before they were hesitant to put any sort of a timetable on a return. But, yeah, so fingers crossed.
I'm not hanging a hat on that.
It's a hope rather than an expectation.
The other point I'll make about that is I've never seen this before, Nick, on the second rack stakes. That the Herald Sun prints who your top two hit out makers.
Yeah.
We actually had null. For the second hit up maker.
Jesus, a smart player, isn't there? Sean Grigg.
He's, and look, you know, good on him, but again, he had actually, I don't know if this is connected, he had statistically had 20 possessions, but his disposal efficiency was low, his contested possessions were down. He had, by the sort of advanced metrics, he had quite a bad game. By contested, by scores from contests, stoppages. We had one of our worst games. The Swans did us by 3 goals in that contest, and they did us ineffective tap outs by quite a lot.
I was quite impressed with Naismith as a athlete. I'd always thought he was a bit more lumbering than that, but yeah, and Nan Curvis didn't play that well either, unfortunately.
No, he didn't, and he missed. Obviously, he missed the two gettable shots. But you know, it turns out that there is a reason why most teams draft 98 centimeter guys and play second forwards who can play ruck.
Well, the Swans are unusual in playing a genuine, like Sinclair's more ruckman than he is second forward. So they're unusual in this day and age, but.
Most teams are still playing 195 centimeter players.
Yeah, they're playing people who, like Griffiths, are competent in the ruck. I mean, Sinclair can genuinely play first ruck as well. But yeah, it was difficult. Can I say what my favorite almost moment of the game was?
I thought you already did, but okay. Behind Bolton, what was it?
Oh, it's an almost moment, but it was the Jaden Short almost taking a massive specky. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm on team Jaden.
I just thought, you know, what you're saying about the body language, Doctor, that we haven't really seen that from him before, and I'm actually taking that as a sign that he's feeling pretty confident and more comfortable about his place in the team, which I think he should. He's playing good footy.
He is. He's the one, if you look at our youth, it's distributed a lot in two areas of the ground. And he's the one doing, you know, the one job that's not just, you know, being a small forward and chasing really hard. But I really like what having Jaden Short in the team, and I think he gives a lot, and he also gives some hope. I know he's too short, but ironically, because of his name. But he gives some hope that he also has some upside in that role.
I saw something. He's top 5 in the AFL for average length of disposal. So, that's kind of cool.
So attacking attacking Maestro Dylan Grimes had another very solid game. I wish I could find an opponent occasionally, but, you know, another 20 possessions, 330 metres gained, you know, very effective on the offensive end.
Look, we've made it nearly 15 minutes into the show without mentioning Alex Rance at all. Consensus best on ground from both coaches, but I thought the combination of him, Asprey, and Grimes were their usual selves.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have commented, but Rance and Grimes are clearly, they're both playing well, but they're also more than the sum of their parts.
Mm. Yeah, and Asprey's winning. We've talked about it before. Asprey's winning a lot of contests as well. How did you feel watching Sam Reed play, knowing that he and Levi Casbolt are our two are the two main rumoured targets as a second forward for the off season?
Yeah, well, towards the end of the game, the old cliche that towards the end of the game, small guys stop running, but big guys stay tall. Didn't come to me. But yeah, other than that, you know, I've watched Sam Reed play football for a very long time, so he wasn't going to change my opinion in that game.
I had pangs of, oh gee, I wish he was playing for us today. Casbolt would be a difficult one for me. I mean, he's, one of my favourite lines from this podcast was when I described his kicking motion about 5 years ago as, it looks as if he changes his mind about what foot he's kicking with after he's dropped the ball. And he's actually good at kicking for goal now.
Yeah, well, he'd want to be, because we are the, as previously discussed, if we're the second worst kicking for goal team.
Third worst, so, yeah.
Yeah, I think we are second, according to the AFL, whatever it is. Yeah. But
it's pretty bad.
Yeah, we wouldn't want to get any worse.
No. look, we mentioned about Bolton's goals, but I thought his whole first half was fantastic in terms of getting involved in the middle of the ground.
Yeah, it was. I mean, he was arguably our best player to quarter time. No, he probably was our best player to quarter time.
Mm.
Maybe would have been to half time, I think, by ratings he was. And then he had two touches for the rest of the game and also barely played. Like, I was actually slightly, so I actually expected him to be listed as injured.
Mm.
Just because, I mean,
I think it might have been out of tickets.
Yeah, I mean, that's now that he hasn't been listed as injury, that does appear to be what happened. Mm. But that was he definitely went, clearly when Shai Bolton hits the wall, he hits the wall hard. I guess, you know, maybe he played so well and he's inexperienced, just there was such a massive adrenaline dump that he kept running until well past the moment where he should have pulled himself back and, you know, kept something back for recovery in the second half. But, you know, the extreme inconsistency is a virtue in youth because it shows you the upside.
Yeah, it's easier to get better at stringing those patches together than if you're just no good in the first place.
Yeah, exactly. It's easy to turn terrible play into decent play if you're exceptional at other times.
Mm, yeah.
If that makes sense. It's harder to be exceptional at any time.
I know. I had a thought. So, Shai Bolton, he's, you know, he had a really good AFL draft camp, but he tested out slightly slower than Menadue and Dan Rioli, and you might probably similar to Dan Butler, but he might be the fastest. He might have the fastest first few steps of anyone on the list at the moment.
I think that, you know, it's one of those things about the difference between, you know, the Jerry Rice, how you test in draft camp and how you play. Like, what was great about Jerry Rice, Hall of Fame wide receiver, the San Francisco 49ers, was he changed directions at the same speed he ran.
Mm.
Shai Bolton just, he plays fast because he hits at key contests, he can hit and play effectively at full speed. And that's not the same as being fast on the track.
No,
Shai's the latter rather than the former.
Yeah. Oh, look, he's quick. He's under 3 seconds for 20 metres. But yeah, like,
let's be honest, a lot of people out there are under 3 seconds.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, yeah, he was 2.95, but, yeah, like Nathan Drummond's... Dusty tested really well.
And does Dusty look as quick as that? No,
No, he doesn't. And Nathan Drummond tested out really fast as well. But yeah, he did. You never quite translates in practice. But yeah, Shai's really fast. It's fun to watch.
Plays fast. Butler. We all know I love Butler.
We are team Butler. Yeah.
God, that was a bad game.
Yeah, it wasn't his week.
Anyway. I think enough said on that.
Yep. I'm also on team manager, but he didn't have his best game either.
No, and a copy paste Rioli too.
Yeah, I thought he was slightly better. Dusty wasn't quite himself as well. Which
the body language doctor didn't like Dusty's frustration a few times when he was isolated one out. I've heard a few opposition coaches / players say that they're quite happy when Dusty goes forward. And, you know, you do have to say...
He does win a lot of one-on-one contests. His winning percentage in one-on-one contests is really high.
He does, but he doesn't win that, you know... I don't think he's a brilliant full forward. He did get a goal from there, but I don't think that's his best spot.
Look, I think that role where he's in midfield most of the day, and then that moment when at the end of the game you can get him isolated one on one in the forward line, that's a nice moment. But I do, he wins games from the midfield.
Yep. Which, yeah, him having 23 touches.
Yeah, it's down on his season. Anyone else you wanted to cover?
Oh, not really. Hooley was our best rated player. Good for him. I think we covered Nank. Yep. And Prestia, I was slightly disappointed with his second half because he started so well. And then
I think his kicking was better in the first half, which has been the thing we've talked about before. Yeah.
He got off a cracker, a really beautiful low hard pass that you can only do with really, you know, nice disposal. And then, you know, and he looked like he was going to really take the game over. And he finished with sort of 23 touches. And I was like, I'm waiting for the breakout game. Anyway.
All right. So, VFL, they had a pretty solid effort with, again, it feels like we're repeating ourselves. Some of the same players, Anthony Miles, extremely.
Can I just, I doff my hat to anyone who having their heart ripped out.
Backed up for
VFL. Backed game. Up and went to watch that game on Sunday night.
Bless them. We had the Anthony Miles played well. Oleg Markov's put 3 games in a row together. Been called into the squad this week. And Ben Lennon kicked 2 goals, 5. So could have had a monstrous day out. But you know,
a few tackles.
Yeah, that was good. The debut of Jack Graham, who finally played his first half of VFL footy and got through it okay. So that was nice to see. And
there was a video on the club website of him getting Gatorade chair after the game. He has the body of sort of your 32-year-old captain coach type. He's barrel-chested at 18. It's ridiculous. Anyway.
And when you think that, he'll probably, as they did with Dusty, they'll, you know, work on that core strength as well. You know, not much need for bicep curls.
No. Anyway.
Ryan Garthwaite. Another pretty good game. I was because we're doing this on the Thursday night. I was interested to see Ivy come into the squad.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the numbers, he was high in hitouts. And you know, I'm glad we talked about the the great big hole in our racking situation, because maybe that's a response to it. That, and maybe we'll now, we're thinking about putting him in and maybe playing Nank as the second ruck forward. But yeah, it was, I can see the logic of at least including Ivy in the squad.
And look, and just trying something as well.
Yeah, I mean, plan A for me, as we've discussed before, is, which I won't elaborate too much, is give Ben Lennon a shot in the Lloyd role, and you know, see whether you can get a few contested marks out of him as a sort of second pseudo key forward. But
yeah,
you know, they know what they're doing. Lennon's in the squad too, so that's the other thing. Maybe they're trying.
Yeah, I mean, you could. Yeah, we might see a couple like Markov, Menadue's one option, resting one of the either Castagna or Bolton from the Mosquito fleet. Interesting to see how it goes. Anything else from the VFL?
Well, I mean, you have to give credit to Steve Morris, who's playing forward again, and got 4 goals.
I know. That was part of you that was fearful he was going to go straight into the seniors, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was. But part of me also thought, well, that would sort of end it. You know, if Steve Morris comes in and we lose against Carlton, well, there's probably 2 careers that are over at that point. And, you know, at least my pain will be over. But the, on the other hand, if Steve Morris came in and we win, you know, fine, whatever. You double down on your pet like, and it works. So good for him. So in some ways it would work either way. But, they didn't go down that path. They didn't go down the, I actually thought Batchelor might be picked as an emergency, for Grimes, but obviously he's come up well.
Look, the other big off-season news was the collective bargaining agreement being reached, and the news that the salary cap is going up 20% next year, which is a big jump. And like it's quite odd that there's a big one-off jump, and then the next 3 years it goes up by less than 2%. So we'd sort of instead of gradually bringing the change in, they've gone for short, sharp shock. And yeah, so there's even more money for the free agents.
Yep. But, you know, it's all equal for all other teams. So not that that won't stop people writing articles about the free agency. They can offer more money. It doesn't matter because other clubs...
Everyone else has more money to match the offer.
So all it is just it's good for the players. It's paper money. But it makes no difference to resigning of our famous midfielder.
No, and it's been seen in the NBA. They had a massive salary cap increase, and what it really meant was that if the players that were lucky enough to be free agents that year, they ka-ching, they benefited some massive deals, and guys like Kaz Bolton Reed are going to be really well off.
Yep, and Dusty, and is Greg a free agent now? Or has he got one more year?
No, I don't think so.
Miles is an interesting one. He might actually get paid a bit.
He's not. He has to go by a trade. He's not a proper free agent.
Yeah, the problem with Miles is that he's just behind Cochin and Martin, but. You know, he could hopefully someone, if it's not Richmond, I hope another club picks him up.
Yeah, there's talk of Sydney being interested, and you think that he would fit their style of play.
Yeah, of course I'd much prefer him to stay with us because I like him. But anyway, Carlton.
So we're about 14-point favourites last time I checked. I'm extremely nervous and stressed about the game. The Carlton's had improved form recently, but
bit of a darling team.
And that's been driven by they've got some good form from their older crop as well as some of the younger players starting to emerge. I mean, they're very much a donut team. They've got a sort of late 20s, early 30s crop, and along with a group of first to third year players. So, you know, unfortunately, you can see better days ahead for Sydney. But, part of what's driving it is also Bryce Gibbs playing well, Cruisers having a career year, guys like Simpsons still in the team, Kerno. They're an interesting team. They're not an easy one to put away, but yeah, we should still win.
Mm. Good defense, like us, they're good defensively. So it may not be actually the round one was fairly high scoring. Both the teams, I think that was our highest score of the year aside from the Brisbane game, and that was also relatively high for Carlton. So it may not this week if the both teams return to their average. It may not be a spectacular
first. No, I mean Sydney's been the best defence in the AFL for the past month, so it was always probably going to be a bit dour against them. But yeah, Marchbank's playing well for Carlton and Doherty as well. So
yeah, the going back to the Morris thing, you know, some friend of the podcast suggested that it would have been. Bringing Morrison to tag Doherty would have been might have been a 2015 demo move, but you know, obviously not this year. Because Lord knows we don't lack in defensive pressure and forward
pressure
these days. I don't know. I'm so burned from last week. I'm yet to formulate a hot.
You're a bit emotionally frazzled.
Well, sort of burnt out, frankly. Like, you know, there was this great hope and this new future, and now, oh no, I'm back to feeling how I felt about Richmond for the last few years. So, you know, I need to be built up again. If we beat Carlton and then we're good against Port next week, I'll re-engage. But right now I'm sort of thinking, I'm open-minded.
Oh, I hate Carlton. Really hope we win. But it's probably going to be another tough game. But, Okay, I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tiger Talk.